This episode of Gators Breakdown is brought to you by MyBookie. Go bet with MyBookie. Sign up at MyBookie.ag and use promo code Gators, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus. Bet with MyBookie.
Gators Breakdown, the Gators fan podcast, because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown podcast is ready to go. I am your host, David Waters, and you can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. All right, it's homecoming, and the Gators are back in the swamp versus the Missouri Tigers. Both teams look to bounce back after losses last week, and joining me to preview this matchup from PowerMizzou.com is Gabe DeArmond. We'll get his thoughts on everything Missouri ahead of this SEC East showdown. Before we do, remember, you can find Gators Breakdown on newsforjacks.com/GatorsBreakdown. There you'll find all the Gators Breakdown episodes, as well as articles from the News for Jack sports team. That's newsforjacks.com/GatorsBreakdown. Also listen to iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, and Spotify for Gators Breakdown. And when using those services, please share, rate, and review the show. And on social media, follow Gators Breakdown on Twitter and Facebook at Gators Breakdown. All right, Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com joining me right here on Gators Breakdown. Gabe, thanks for joining me here.
No problem. Thanks for having me, David.
All right, here we go. I'm sure the biggest question around the Missouri football program right now is, how does Missouri bounce back after that Kentucky game? You know, a game they coulda, shoulda, woulda won.
Yeah, that is definitely the biggest question, and we're not going to know until probably, I'd say, you know, late first quarter on Saturday. I actually find it pretty interesting. I think it's a lot like Florida's game here last year. You know, a lot of people didn't give Missouri any credit for that win because they said Florida quit. I said, but I don't think Florida had quit coming in. I think Florida quit when Missouri got up a couple scores. I think they laid down at that point. So this Missouri team has two ways they can go. They can either come out and say, hey, we're two plays from being 6-2 and top 15 in the country, and we can play with anybody, and we're going to fight and all that. If they come out and Florida gets up 10 points early, they could roll over and die. And if they do that, there's a whole bunch of questions that open up about this team. I mean, I have followed Missouri football for, you know, whether it was growing up as a kid or as a student or now covering it for probably 30 years. And I got to tell you, that is as gut-wrenching, painful a loss as I can remember a Missouri team having. And that is saying something, because Missouri has some in its history.
Absolutely there. So 4-4 overall record, and the four losses have come in conference in the SEC. You know, two really close ones in a two-point loss to South Carolina and a one-point loss to Kentucky last week. Is there a message this team can compete, even though the record isn't where it was expected coming into this season?
Well, it's the message that Barry Odom and Drew Lock certainly are selling this week. I mean, if you take out Alabama, because I don't count that because nobody's going to beat them, but you take Georgia, South Carolina, and Kentucky. Missouri lost those three games last year by, I think, 49 points. They lost them this year by 17. So they're a better team than they were last year. But at some point, improvement has to translate to wins. Like, coaches don't get hired and fired based on you tried hard and you're getting better. Coaches get hired and fired based on did you win. And Missouri really has lost two games it should have won. I mean, the South Carolina game, they outplayed South Carolina most of the day and just made some boneheaded mistakes at the wrong time. And then the Kentucky game, I mean, they had dominated that game until Lynn Bowden returned a punt with 5:18 left. And that flipped everything, and then Missouri just melted down in the last 2:30, really, offensively and defensively. I don't want this to come off as homerish, but a lot of people will make the argument, even with zero on the clock, they won that game. There was a pass interference penalty that, unless you were just a dyed-in-the-wool Kentucky fan, I don't understand how you look at that and believe that was defensive pass interference. So if I'm Odom, I'm going to my boss at the end of the year and going, whatever my win total is, add one, because I think I won that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the Kentucky touchdown pass, you know, pretty nice push off there too. So
yeah, that one I didn't have as big a problem with. I mean, it's a push, but most people don't call it there. The problem is the play before, most people also don't call that. In fact, I would say 98% of people don't call that.
All right, of course, the offense starts with Drew Lock, and the talk coming into this season was, you know, getting better against the better teams on the schedule. As we mentioned, 0-4 in conference, but is it really all on the shoulders of Drew Lock?
It isn't, but you know how it works. It is, because he's the quarterback. I thought he actually played a pretty decent game against Georgia. They got beat, but, you know, he played all right in that game. He did not play well at South Carolina, but a quarter and a half of that was played in a rainstorm of biblical proportions. He didn't play well against Bama. Nobody plays well against Bama, but he was bad against Kentucky. He also didn't get any help. Emmanuel Hall, his best receiver, has missed the last four games, and really the last five, because against Georgia he was on the field, but he was targeted once. He was only a decoy. They think he can come back this week. It's obviously not going to be decided. I mean, people ask every week, is he coming back? And I say, well, what they tell us on Tuesday doesn't matter. We'll see on Saturday if he's out there. And it doesn't seem like, to me, Emmanuel Hall is a player that should make the difference he does in Missouri's offense. Like, he's a good player, but this isn't the best receiver in the country or anything. But when he's been on the field, Missouri's offense has been really good. And when he hasn't been, they've been really bad. And that's not just this year. That goes back to last year, too.
All right, and extending the offense here, the three-headed monster at running back with Larry Roundtree III, Demaria Crockett, and the true freshman Tyler Beatty here in that group, averaging 5.2 yards a carry, the three of them. Is the success of those guys that they're having, is it a surprise for this team?
I don't think it's a surprise. Tyler Beatty's a surprise. I mean, I don't think anybody expected him to make the contributions he's making, but Crockett ran for 1,000 as a true freshman 2 years ago. Larry Roundtree had 700 as a true freshman last year. So most people expected that to be a strength of this team. Now, the interesting thing is, if you look at Missouri now, everybody says it's Drew Locke, and that's the strength of the offense. I don't agree. They're a better running team than they are a passing team, to be quite honest with you, because Missouri's receivers have trouble getting open against some of the better defenses that they've played. And Albert Okwuegbunam, who is, you know, a potential early entry NFL guy, like, outside of the Memphis game, he hasn't been very good this year. I think the biggest issue with Missouri's offense is he just hasn't been what we thought he was going to be outside of that one six-catch, 159-yard game against Memphis. And so it's kind of taken away that thing Drew Locke always knows he has. It really hasn't been there.
And then the offensive line, of course, all five starters back. I remember previewing Missouri before the season started, and, you know, that was an aspect of this team that you had the light coming in. As I mentioned, the top three backs averaging over 5 yards a carry. And also, this group only giving up 10 sacks so far this season. So this offensive line has definitely lived up to the billing.
I'd say it's good. I don't think it's great. Kevin Pendleton, the left guard, has been in and out of the lineup with an ankle problem. He's been okay. Paul Adams, the right tackle, he struggled some. I mean, Josh Allen, and look, I think Josh Allen from Kentucky is the best defensive player in the league, if not the best defensive player in the country. So there's no shame necessarily, but he ate Missouri alive in the second half. The offensive line is good, but I on our site before the year, I told a lot of people, like, I don't think this offensive line is as good as you think. Because when Josh Heupel came in 3 years ago, like, he installed the hurry-up wide scheme he did in large part because he was worried about his offensive line. And the numbers look really good. Like, they don't give up very many sacks. They don't give up very many tackles for loss. A big part of that is also they don't hold the ball very long. It's the scheme. So I don't want to discredit the line. I think it's a good line, but I don't think it's a great line.
Got to Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com joining us here on the Rivals Network, joining us right here on Gators Breakdown. Of course, let's move to the other side of the ball here. And the name of late, Cale Garrett, the linebacker, on a tear as of late. Really strong game against Kentucky. Career-high 14 tackles there. 10-plus tackles in three consecutive games with 37 tackles, 25 of those being solo tackles. So this is the guy I think the Gators are going to have to point out when they line up on offense.
Yeah, and you didn't even mention what I think the most impressive thing Cale Garrett's done in the last 3 weeks. Missouri stopped Kentucky on 4th and 2 or less last week, and Cale Garrett was in the middle of all of them. That's tough to do three times in a game. He played really well, has been playing really well. Therese Hall has played pretty well when he's been on the field. This is an interesting Missouri defense, and this is not like hindsight. I was saying this in the middle of the South Carolina game. Will Muschamp was running a lot on first and second down. I said, I don't get it. I don't understand why you're lining up trying to run on this team, because they're actually really good against the run. I mean, they held Benny Snell to 67 yards. I don't think anybody else has done that this year. But they gave up almost 300 passing to Kentucky. Like, if I'm facing Missouri, this is not an exaggeration. I would drop back and throw on every down. Like, because you don't run that well against even Georgia and Alabama. Like, they got some yardage, but they didn't run as well on Missouri as they run against most other teams. But Missouri just cannot stop the pass. They have very little pass rush. They don't cover all that well. When they are in position to make a play, they usually don't catch it. I mean, the pass defense has been as bad as the run defense has been good.
Yeah, okay. You were bringing me to my next point there, and I was wondering, how do you see? So I guess you do see this Florida team. You know, Felipe Franks, not the best last two games here, and actually turning the ball over against Vanderbilt, he threw for a career high, and then had a terrible performance against Georgia, four turnovers in his last two games there. But you're still seeing that Florida should try and get Franks in the groove and let him pass the ball in this Missouri defense.
Yeah, I mean, on the surface, I look at this matchup and go, you know what, if Missouri can just score, I said this going into the Kentucky game, if Missouri can get to 24, they're going to win this game because Kentucky can't score with them. And I kind of look at Florida and you say, they don't have a great offense. They don't really throw the ball very well. Their strength is probably running the football on offense, so that's a decent matchup for Missouri. But I've seen far worse quarterbacks than Felipe Franks light this defense up this year. I mean, like I said, Terry Wilson threw for 294, or Kentucky's quarterbacks threw for 294. Gunnar Hope came in for a little bit. David Lyle from Purdue, now he's a good quarterback. They've got a really nice passing game. He threw for 572 yards against Missouri. Michael Scarnecchia, the backup at South Carolina, had 250 and two touchdowns. Like, you can just write down 250 for an opposing quarterback against Missouri. That's actually not a very good game if you only throw for 250 against Missouri.
Yeah, so a lot of Gator fans, you know, many out there not the best confidence in Felipe Franks. So you're making some of them feel better right there. But, you know, it's still all going to play out when Missouri and Florida meet on Saturday. So, Gabe, what's the kind of message for Barry Odom right now in his future? Is there any hot seat talk if there's anything that goes wrong? You know, this season, 0-4 in the SEC right now. After the winning streak to end last year, you know, there was a lot of kind of, I won't necessarily say hype, but, you know, a lot of positive mojo around the program. How big is this Florida game and the rest of the season for Barry Odom right now?
Well, it's huge. I said coming into this year, the bar for success for me for Missouri was 8 wins. Because 8 wins not only was a step forward from last year in Drew Locke's senior year, Terry Beckner's senior year, Terez Hall, you know, some of these guys that are leaving, but it also means you beat a good team. The knock on Missouri is, yeah, they beat the bad teams, but Drew Locke is now 0-9 against ranked teams. I think, I don't know this number exactly, but there's something like 1-16 against SEC teams that finish with a winning record. They beat Arkansas in 2016 in the last game of the season, but every other SEC win they have is against teams that finish the season with a losing record. So this is their last chance. I mean, their last three games are Kentucky, Vandy, and Tennessee, Vandy, and Arkansas. And, like, if you win those games, you're 7-5, and 7-5 doesn't get you fired at Missouri. You know, it's not great, but it's not terrible. It's probably going to keep everybody around. But if they finish 7-5, their best win at the end of the year is Purdue that might make a bowl game. And so it's, again, yeah, you got 7 wins, but teams schedule 7 wins these days. So that's why the Kentucky game was a heartbreaker. Had they won that game, like, I legitimately, with 6 minutes left in that game, had the sentence written, ready to post on our board, we can quit talking about if Barry Odom's coming back next year, because he is. That's over now. And then they lost that game, and it's not over. I mean, if you read my Twitter mentions, if you read my message board, nobody's talking about this game. Everybody's just talking about, so who, how soon do they fire Odom? Who do we get? And I understand that's fans. I get a little bit jaded because I deal with the diehards, so I don't think most people necessarily feel that way. If he manages to win 4-3 out of these last four, he's going to stick around. But if he can win the Florida game, again, the talk goes away. If he goes down and beats Florida, then it's, okay, guys, this is a team that's 2 plays from being 7-2 and really good. They just won a game against a ranked team on the road. But if they don't, you just kind of get to the end of the year and you just go, it was fine. It wasn't good. It wasn't the worst. It was better than last. But you don't really know where the program's going.
Right. And one last question before I let you go here, Gabe, and a name Gator fans were so familiar with coming into this season, and Derek Dooley being the offensive coordinator at Missouri. How's that transition been going so far? You know, we've talked here about the offense, but, you know, if you dive deep into it, you know, is there approval rating or is there disappointment in what Derek Dooley's been doing so far?
If you'd asked me at halftime of last week, I would have said the approval rating was very high. Then they went 8 straight drives without a single first down. And the approval rating is, and they, by the way, threw the ball on third and two to allow Kentucky to keep a timeout. The approval rating after last week is not high. He's done a good job. It hadn't been perfect by any means, but he's been good. Missouri put up 29 on Georgia. I mean, they put up 35 on South Carolina, which should be enough to win an SEC game. Kentucky game was bad. I still think people undersell how good Kentucky's defense is because it says Kentucky on their jerseys. If their jersey said Florida, everybody would understand how good that defense is. But they still shouldn't hold you without a first down. You know, this is a big test for Dooley and the Missouri offense. And that's what this game comes down to me. It's just, can they figure out the offense and score some points? Because if they do, they're going to give themselves a chance to win. But if they come out with 10, you know, they're in big trouble.
All right, Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com joining me here on Gators Breakdown with a terrific preview of these Missouri Tigers. Gabe, thank you so much.
No problem. Have a good one.
Sure, watching football is fun, but it's more entertaining when you have some action on the games. Guys, you've heard me talking about this for weeks, and some of you are still on the sidelines. So whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting with MyBookie. There's so much to bet on. College basketball tips off with Kentucky, Duke, and Michigan State, Kansas. The Cowboys and the Eagles play what could be an NFL playoff elimination game. We also have college football, NBA, and NHL. MyBookie has been in the business for years, and they've got great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Also, make sure to follow MyBookie at BetMyBookie on Twitter or Instagram. They will personally respond to every mention and DM, not to mention that they've given away nearly $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. Don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie, use promo code Gators, and you will get your first deposit match 50%. That's promo code Gators. You play, you win, you get paid with MyBookie. So what are some things to look out for as the Gators host the Tigers? First of all, guys, I think Florida needs to establish the run, but as we said in the interview earlier, it might be difficult to get this going. Against one of the nation's top rushing offenses last week, Missouri proved why its run defense continues to be one of its strengths. Missouri limited Kentucky to just 2.6 yards per carry on 35 attempts, holding the Wildcats to just 91 yards on the ground. That's Kentucky's second worst output of the season on the ground. So, Kentucky entered last Saturday averaging 5.3 yards per carry as a team, only 2.6 on Missouri last week. And over the last 15 games, Missouri is limiting opponents to 3.28 yards per carry and held 7 of its opponents to fewer than 100 yards during that 15-game stretch. So while it would be nice to see Florida get Scarlett, Piran, and Pierce going, Florida may need to get creative in the run game, and also Franks is going to have to hit some passes to open up this Missouri defense. As we mentioned with Gabe there, he thinks there's going to be some chances for Franks and this Florida passing offense to get going. And the Tigers have given up at least 200 yards to the air in each of the last 6 games. So you have to think Florida can get enough out of the run game if Frank gets 200 yards. And if that happens, I think you have to like Florida's chances if we get that run game going like we know they can, and France gets around 200 yards passing. So, as long as the game isn't a shootout, then should be enough for Florida to win if the game plays out that way. And you heard Gabe and I talk about him. Missouri junior linebacker Cale Garrett is the player the Gators must account for. Coming off, as we mentioned, that strong performance against Kentucky last week, he had that career-high 14 tackles to lead Missouri's defense, posted 10-plus tackles in 3 consecutive games. Of his 14 tackles last week, 3 came on those huge fourth down stops that Gabe brought up. So, yeah, on the year, Garrett's now 5th in the SEC with 69 tackles and 48 solo tackles. So that ranks 2nd in the league there. Over his last 3 games, he has 37 tackles and 25 of those being solo tackles. So, Cale Garrett, keep an eye on that guy when Missouri's on defense. He's going to be a handful for that Florida offensive line. It's what we got to see. I think Florida get creative when they run and when they want to run the ball. I think they're going to have to get a little creative in the run, and I'm not sure they can just sit there and pound it straight at Missouri and that defensive front there. So earlier this week, I mentioned the lack of sacks this Florida team has the last 2 games, and the worry here is it might be tough to get going versus Missouri. As I mentioned earlier, they've only given up 10 sacks all season, on a line that's returned every starter. So, you know, they can keep you off balance because they can run the ball at 5 yards a pop, but Missouri has also surrendered just 35 negative plays through 8 games, ranking that, and that ranks 14th nationally right now. So it is going to be the way you look at these numbers. You know, can Florida get something going with that defensive pass rush? You know, not necessarily getting sacks, but at least get some more pressure than what we've seen the last couple weeks. Did okay against Vanderbilt, but last week, you know, Fromm had all day to throw for the good bit of those plays, and especially on third down. So you don't have to get to the quarterback. You don't have to sack a lot, but at least get back there and make him think twice about the pressure that could be in his face. So Missouri allowed just 4 negative plays last weekend versus Kentucky, but still, looking at that game, Missouri had no first downs in the second half on 8 drives. Locke was only 6 of 11 for only 35 yards and sacked twice against Kentucky. So that Kentucky defense is very good. And Florida will look to do more of the same and get back into a groove of pressuring the quarterback. It's going to be tough with the scheme Missouri runs and getting the ball out quick, but Florida must do a better job at pressuring the quarterback than they have the last 2 games. So get Locke to play like he has versus the rest of the SEC this season, and has been the case throughout much of his career as he struggled versus SEC teams, and no different this season so far. 68 of 137, averaging only 183 yards per game, 1 touchdown, 5 interceptions, and 0-4 versus Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, Kentucky. That's his stats in those games in the SEC. So, you know, you would think Florida has a good chance here at keeping something similar going with their defense and how it should work out. So there's just some good to great defenses there, but Locke is supposed to be a top NFL talent. He just doesn't show up in conference play, especially so far this season. So the Gators need to continue that trend and not look similar to the performance of last season when Locke went 15-20 for 228 yards, 3 touchdowns. This is a much different Gators team this time around than the game last year. So with all that said, you know, while I don't like some of the matchups that Missouri brings to the table in this one, their struggles versus SEC teams is quite noticeable. You know, this Gators team has been able to bounce back after the first loss of the season against Kentucky this year, and in almost every situation in game as well. And I like, you know, the Gators to bounce back here as well. 30-20 Gators is what I have it. I think the game plays out a lot like the Vanderbilt game eventually, but more due to a slow start, not turnovers. I think the Gators will try and rely on the run game, but eventually Franks will have to hit some throws, and I think he will. But I think Missouri will stay within about 10 points the whole game or so, but never really threatened to win the game. Locke will hit a couple big throws, nothing consistent. Now, with this, I am banking on C.J. Henderson being back healthy for the most part, Stewart playing, and maybe even Edwards getting more snaps back there in the secondary. And if not, matchup could get a little shaky. But 30-20 Gators is how I see it ending up, and Florida keeping Drew Locke under control for most of the game there. So should be a good time homecoming in the Swamp. And let's take a look around the SEC here and all the other games going on before we get off here on Gators Breakdown. Big week here. Noon, Texas A&M and Auburn. That should be a pretty good game, I think. Texas A&M, can they bounce back after the Mississippi State loss last week there? Another noon game. South Carolina and Ole Miss. Can South Carolina keep up with that Ole Miss? The game has a potential to be a pretty good shootout, I think, here. So 3:30, the SEC East pretty much de facto championship game. Georgia and Kentucky. Georgia after beating Florida last week. Kentucky after beating Missouri. It actually wouldn't have mattered. Kentucky, this game still would have been for the SEC East, given if Kentucky would have lost to Missouri anyway. So now they have a little bit more playroom. It sets up this game to be a winner-take-all there, since both teams only have 1 loss in this head-to-head matchup there. So 3:30 CBS, the first game of their doubleheader is Georgia and Kentucky. At 4 o'clock is Florida hosting Missouri, and also at 4 o'clock, Charlotte and Tennessee. And then the night games, Louisiana Tech, Mississippi State. And then, of course, the big one, 8 o'clock on CBS. Number 1, Alabama. Number 3, LSU. Big game there. And we'll see how LSU responds to a loss to Florida, beating Georgia, and then some bye week, and then hosting the Crimson Tide. We'll see. I think Alabama wins pretty comfortably in that one. I don't think that's not a slight at LSU. That's a I'm picking Alabama to beat everybody this year and by a pretty good margin as well. So definitely two games to keep an eye on there. Georgia and Kentucky, Alabama, LSU pretty much lets us know who's going to be playing in Atlanta the first week of December in the SEC championship game when it's all said and done on Saturday. And then probably on Sunday we'll get to know for sure the kickoff time for Florida and South Carolina the next week. So, guys, thanks for joining me here and catching this Florida-Missouri preview. Thanks to Gabe DeArmond, of course, for his Missouri knowledge and joining me here and giving a really good preview of Missouri and what to look for when these two teams match up in the Swamp on Saturday. I'm your host of Gators Breakdown, David Waters. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. Guys and girls out there, thanks for listening to this episode of Gators Breakdown.